This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35, Thursday, the 7th of July. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. In 30 minutes, well, slightly more than 30 minutes, we have our usual breakfast grill. Who is in the hot seat today, Shazana?
Well, I'll be speaking to Dr. Paul Tang. He's a professor at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. And we're going to be discussing how the ASEAN region has been impacted by disruptions to the global food supply chain and whether there's a way to future-proof ourselves against similar shocks moving forward. It's a fascinating conversation. I'm sure there's just so much affecting our food security at the moment. The three Cs, COVID-19, conflict in Ukraine, climate change. How do we deal with all of this? I'll discuss this with Dr. Paul Tang.
And hopefully some from the Jihad Task Force are listening in. But up next, we're going to be talking about July's FOMC meeting, because there's a lot of expectation that there will be a 75 basis point hike to interest rates, which is expected to curb against soaring inflation. Now, this painful monetary normalization has been largely responsible for the sell-off that we're seeing in the US markets as investors increasingly adopt a risk-off approach.
The stock market recorded its worst first half since 1970 this year, with the S&P 500 down close to 20%. As fears of recession continued to loom, on Tuesday, oil prices also tumbled to below $100 per barrel, while gold slumped to the lowest in more than 6 months. So with inflation continuing to be the nemesis for investors, what fixed income and commodities investment strategy can you turn to in these volatile times?
For some answers, we speak to Manpreet Gill. He's the head of fixed income currencies and commodities investment strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Good morning, Manpreet. Now, the key word on everyone's lips is recession. Is it a foregone conclusion that the US will slip into one? Or can the Federal Reserve manage to tame inflation without causing that?
Good morning. Well, I guess I wouldn't call it a foregone conclusion, but the risks in our view are clearly rising that we do end up in a recession. I think, you know, we follow a number of indicators that could warn of a slowing of growth. And we've seen quite a worsening of those over the past month. And I think possibly the most infamous of those maybe the yield curve or the gap between long-term and short-term bond yields, which has started to turn negative. So clearly the risks are starting to rise. But I think for investors, the key thing here is really to balance that versus what may already be in the price. Because like you said, we've already had one of the worst starts to the year for equity markets since 1970. So there is a balance to be drawn here. I mean, equities, for example, have fallen an average of about 27% for the S&P 500 on average for most recessions over the past century or so. And we know we've got a large part of that here. So I think the economic data is something we need to watch closely, particularly how far the Fed's willing to go in its fight in inflation. But I think as investors, we really have to walk that tightrope between what the Fed tells us they want to do versus what might be in the price.
Do you think now is the time to be overweight on fixed income in light of all this uncertainty?
Well, we certainly would be raising our allocation to bonds. I'm not sure I take it all the way to an overweight, but that's less of an issue for bonds. I think what we have seen is we've already seen quite a significant jump in bond yields all the way back from, so it almost feels like a long time ago when the 10-year was closer to 1% rather than 3%. But what we can learn from past cycles is that you tend to see the big surge in yields usually in the early stages of a rebound higher in the bond cycle and then a more gradual pace turn higher. We're already seeing that correlation, that unusual correlation with equity and bonds in the first half of the year start to break down. And bonds behave more like, you'd expect they would when with yields sort of starting to push downwards as growth worries rise. So I think we may not be, the rise in bond yields may not be completely behind us, but we do believe that the most rapid and sizable part indeed might be with a lot of Fed sort of hiking now in the price. So we do think it is worth sort of starting to raise allocation to bonds, but I think it's a mix of both, higher quality government bonds on one hand, I talk about G3 government bonds, but I'd still sort of add some riskier bonds, Asia dollar bonds, high yield bonds on the side as well, because yields are a whole lot higher. And even if we have a few growth risks there, I think the risk reward there, the yields are more than compensate for it.
Okay, I want to talk about the opportunities. You mentioned some of them, but, if I look at the first half of 2022, it was tough for fixed income investors. I mean, US 10-year Treasury yields soared to 3.3%, hurting returns. So where should I specifically allocate my money within the bond universe? Is it an EMDM kind of discussion or is it geography-based?
But I think in bonds, the way we look at it is a combination of quality, so investment grade or high yield, and of course, EMDM. And I'd say look at one extreme, I think our most preferred pockets within fixed income still sit at the EMs, well, a mix of EM and DM. So Asia dollar bonds, which I think is interesting because actually that's less correlated to the whole Fed discussion. I mean, they are dollar denominated, but it's more linked to an improving policy cycle in China from credit quality perspective. So that's one area I'd look. The other is US and European high yield bonds. And that might sound strange when we're talking about a recession, but actually with yields now, you know, pushing north of 9%, we think a fairly high default rate, not far off from previous recession peaks, is now in the price. So those are two areas I would, you know, most preferred areas, but I think it's about keeping the balance because the opposite extreme, we've also been raising allocations, like I said, to G3 government bonds. So a little bit of a barbell, but I think it's about having that spread of fixed income assets with a slight preference, of course, with the two risky ones I described, balanced with a rising allocation to high quality government bonds.
So can we turn our attention to China with their zero COVID policy approach and even news flows on property bond defaults? What are your expectations with regards to their economy this year?
I think on China, we've got, you know, I think forward-looking view is quite important here because I think there's a lot of obviously focus on what has happened in the property sector, how slow the economic data is. But China's also at a point in the cycle where the forward-looking view is quite important because we've seen a shift in policy environment where, you know, policymakers are trying to stimulate growth. So we've seen improvement in the forward-looking indicators, in the PMIs, for example. So I think it's about achieving a balance. I don't think we expect sort of a massive rebound in the economy. But I think that's one market, whether we look at the equity or the bond market side, it is one of our preferred regions on both asset classes because we think the backward-looking data will still look weak. But I think from a forward-looking perspective, the policy outlook is looking more and more attractive.
Let's look at the commodity space. I mean, we talk of global growth decelerating. What's the house view on oil? Because we have seen prices come under pressure. It's below $100 per barrel for oil. Is demand destruction starting to bite?
But I think to some extent, the fear of demand destruction may already be coming into the price. I think when you go back to the point where prices were around $120 per barrel or so, I think there was a lot of fear in the market in terms of just how much supply could be restricted and how much demand might rebound as China comes back online. I think what we've seen recently is a little bit of an abatement of those fears as the conflict in Ukraine sort of has arguably moved a little bit away from center stage on the news headlines. But what I would argue is that, look, I think while growth recession fears are clearly sort of pushing the prices lower, I think the risks from the supply side in particular have not gone away. I mean, we saw that recently with many policymakers saying, you know, OPEC may not necessarily have that much spare capacity. And there's still this whole discussion of Russian sort of a potential cap on Russian oil supply. So I think we do expect prices to be volatile, but I think this may be a temporary pullback before we get another push higher.
All right, Manpreet, very quickly, gold slumped the lowest in more than 6 months. Why isn't the mantra that gold is a strategic hedge against inflation and a volatile equity market holding true?
Well, I think gold ends up being a really good hedge in the early stages of an equity market sell-off. And I think we did see it play that role in the early part of 2022. But I think it's really been hit by a double whammy of higher bond yields on one hand and a much stronger dollar, both of which are two of, you know, arguably the most important drivers long-term for gold. So I think we've seen sort of a bit of stress there, but I think we'd still retain it as a preferred asset, particularly because of inflation risks.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Manpreet Gill. He's the head of fixed income, currencies and commodities investment strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank, giving us his views in terms of where the gems are in the fixed income market. And he likes Asian dollar bonds, European high yield bonds for your risky part of your asset, but you want to balance it out, take a barbell approach and look at the G3 government guaranteed bonds.
Absolutely. I think lots of things to factor in when it comes to what's happening in the economy. He did mention that with regard to gold, I think it's something we've all been wondering. Yeah, why hasn't it gone up given the volatility? He did say that it usually goes up in the beginning of these volatility cycles. And we did see that earlier. It hasn't, you know, whether it'll come to play later on, I guess, is something we'll keep an eye on.
Yeah, because when you look at the economic clock, right, many economists are saying that we are probably at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening, by the way. So hence, the traditional mantra that gold is a good hedge doesn't necessarily hold true. But I think the second half of 2022, right, clearly is going to be dominated by three macroeconomic questions. And this is from the Standard Chartered report. So you're looking at in US inflation. You are also looking as whether the Fed will continue to tighten policy so much so that it pushes the economy into a recession within the next 6 to 12 months. And I think the third thing to keep an eye on very closely, especially in this part of the region, is how will China do? So he says the backward data has been very positive, but the forward data looks encouraging. But I question how encouraging it will be considering China still maintains a very tight zero COVID policy, which means the economy is still going to be vulnerable to opening and then closing.
That's right. I think everyone's watching whether they can achieve that 5.5% GDP target that they've set for themselves. Everyone's betting against them, I think, at this point. So we'll have to see whether they'll be able to pull it off. They seem quite confident that that is still their target. They're not backing down.
No, they're not. But they are a controlled economy, so you'll never really know. I mean, they can actually use one of the levers, which is, of course, fiscal spending. They also have many monetary tools. They're not like the Fed, where they control that from an interest rate perspective. They can flood the economy with much more liquidity. So we'll be watching this space. But up next, are we saying goodbye to Boris Johnson? Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.